Every week here on KNKX, we tell stories from around the Northwest on our show Sound Effect. There's always a theme, and this next story is about some pretty unlikely odds. Here's Sound Effect host Gabriel Spitzer.
On now to A Brush with Death, the story of a disaster and the man who probably shouldn't have survived it if not for a tiny bureaucratic quirk of fate. A heads up that this story contains some graphic descriptions that can be a little tough to listen to. Sound Effect contributor Dominic Black has the story.
It was about 5:30 in the afternoon by the time Bob Hofferber reached the finance office. He was preparing to leave Ladd Air Force Base in Fairbanks, Alaska, where he'd been based. It was November the 28th, 1952, and he was going to fly down to McCord Air Force Base on a Douglas C-54G Skymaster, stopping off in Anchorage to pick up extra passengers on the way. Bob's wife, Dolores, also lived in Fairbanks, and she was going to follow him down the next morning. So all Bob had to do was check out of Ladd Air Force Base. He had to go through this process, make sure he didn't have any equipment, make sure he didn't have any cold weather clothing that was government issue, make sure he didn't have any fines outstanding at the base library. So by the time 5:30 rolls around, he's pretty much done with this process, and the finance office is his last stop.
They went through my records and they discovered an error on there. Some of my records showed that I was still single. They didn't have me down as married. And they said, you'll have to get this retyped, corrected, and then bring it back. And I said, my office is closed. I mean, those guys, they didn't care. It's just tough. Figure it out. So I was mad. And my wife was staying with some friends. We'd given up our apartment. So I called her and told her what was happening. And I decided I was going to try to get a ticket with her and go in the morning.
This is Murray Morgan. I am standing, as I broadcast, at the scene of a crash which has taken someplace between 30 and 35 lives.
Tacoma-born writer and historian Murray Morgan worked as a journalist in 1952. This recording was found in his study after his death, a graphic location account on a small 7-inch reel of unlabeled magnetic audio tape.
A military air transport plane coming in from Anchorage, Alaska, tried to land at the McCord Air Base shortly before 1 this morning. The plane made a ground control approach, that is, an approach with radar help, to the field, and then circled away. As it circled away, it dropped low, struck the tops of some trees, and crashed.
I'd sent a telegram to my parents the day before telling them on what flight I was going to be on.
Your parents thought you were on that flight,
right?
And so they heard about the crash.
Right. And they lived in South Tacoma, not too far from where the airplane crashed. In fact, my dad drove up there and looked at it. And so they thought at the time I was on the airplane.
This is a dreadful and eerie scene out here. It is cold and it is dark and it is foggy. There are flames from the plane still smoldering an hour and a half after the crash. All around me, there are corps men, aid corps men, their white helmets, moving with litters, searching for the bodies of the dead who are lying in this field of scrub oak and bunch grass. Men with flashlights are turning them around, and wherever they turn, they come on scenes of horror.
Did your dad ever talk about what he saw that night?
Yeah. Yeah, he said he went up there and he saw people still strapped in their seats, burning. That it was a total disaster scene, which was tough for him to look at the time. He said later he doesn't even know why he went up there.
I have here two of the first people to reach the scene of the accident. Sir, your name again?
Art Getchman.
Just pick up the story. You were in your car and the plane came over?
Yes, I was. Well, this big ball of fire come over my car. It couldn't have been very high because it just warmed my car up right away. I didn't even think it was a plane. I couldn't hear no motors or anything, just a big swoosh. And I followed.
When I seen it land over in the field, it burst into flame right away, and I got in the car and shot down there. And the first thing I jumped out of the car, I heard the little somebody screaming. I run over, and I'd say the boy's about 5 years old. He was still alive. And I think I counted 14 up in this end. They were all dead. And the baby out in the, where the biggest part of the flame was, we couldn't get there to him or her. But I think they were dead anyway.
The bodies are being put under brown army blankets. From time to time, the blankets are lifted so that the number of dead may be counted. Under one blanket, I saw two small, terribly burned children, 4 or 5 years old, and right next to them was the headless body of a woman.
I didn't find out about the crash till I woke up in the morning and they had a little table radio. I heard for the first time there that the aircraft had crashed. So my wife and I were just, totally shocked. And all we could think about was some way letting our parents know that we were not on that airplane.
Normally he'd have sent a telegram, since phoning home wasn't really an option for somebody of his rank. But this isn't a normal morning. And so as he's getting ready to turn in his corrected report to the finance office, the phone rings.
Somebody else answered the phone, and here, it's your mother. So, who was greatly relieved, of course, and I told her that we would be coming home.
There were 39 people on the plane that night, and ultimately only two survived. Airman Curtis Redd, who was 23 years old, and a young boy called Joseph Yakovetti, who was 8, and who lost his whole family. Bob Hofferber went on to work as a radar engineer, and he and his wife Dolores had 3 children. But over the years, since that night, November 28th, 1952, he's thought many times about the families who were lost, and about the quirk, the chance occurrence, a typing mistake that kept him off that plane.
I've always felt grateful that for some reason, we were both spared. And I've always been fairly religious, so I attached a lot of that to being religious, and just felt lucky that I was able to have a family and live a pretty good life.